half at a time. Stay together. 60 minutes. Let's go. Half the run.
This should come as no great surprise to you, but in case you'd forgotten, Edgar Allan Poe came from Baltimore, quoth the Raven, nevermore. We know all about them. They know all about the Steelers. And yet it seems, Mike, as though their personality may have changed a little bit. Is it fair to say that this is now an offensive football team as opposed to looking only at them as a defensive team?
You know, I think that's a fair assessment. I think, you know, if you point to the natural maturation process that Joe Flacco and Ray Rice are going through, those guys are moving into the prime of their careers and they're really good football players. That's a fair assessment. But I'll tell you this, defensive personalities die and die hard. You know, when the rubber meets the road, I'm sure that defense will reveal itself and play good football. We expect them to, no doubt, here in our stadium this weekend, and we got to match and exceed their energy and production.
Let's talk about that defense for just a moment before we get back to Joe Flacco. Do you look at tape before Ray Lewis and after Ray Lewis? And if so, have there been distinct changes in what they do with him or without him, or Ladarius Webb for that matter?
You know, I think probably the loss of Webb has probably changed them more schematically than the loss of Ray. Webb is a top-flight corner. When you've got top-flight corners like they have with him and Jimmy Smith, young first-rounder and Jimmy Smith, you can do a variety of things. You can attack. You can play bump, man-to-man. And with Webb's injury, you've seen less of that in recent weeks. And I'd probably say the significant changes are a result of his absence as opposed to Ray. They appear to be the same salty bunch in the interior core of their defense up front.
Does the return of Terrell Suggs, does that enhance what they're willing to do and able to do?
Oh, sure it does. And not only that, but I'm sure it affects the mentality of offenses from a preparation standpoint. You've always got to have a keen understanding of where Mr. Suggs is and how you're going to get him blocked and how he affects the game, not only in the run game and not only from a pass rush standpoint. But this guy is one of the very best in the world at disrupting screens. He jumped up in recent times against us and intercepted a wide receiver screen, and he almost did it last week. He's just a top-flight player. That's why he's a defensive player of the year type of a guy. It's significant when they have him in uniform.
Can you say the same thing about Ed Reed? Or can you not identify guys and say, stay away from him at all costs? I mean, can you play a football game that way?
You can't stay away from Ed Reed because he's quite frankly everywhere. You know, a guy that plays in the middle of the field that has the type of range and anticipation and experience that he has, he can get just about everywhere he needs to be on the football field. The days of trying to stay away from the likes of Ed Reed are really gone. He can get to the football. You got to be conscious of him, of course. You got to pick your shots. He's going to affect football games when he's got a helmet on because that's the type of player he is, and he has been.
Once upon a time, offensively, the Ravens really focused on getting the ball to Todd Heap, one of the best tight ends in the game in his time. And now it's kind of come full circle. They're sort of a tight end-centric group again, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got some talented young pass catchers at the position, and Peter and Dixon. They're both vertical threat guys, athletic body type, small forwards, if you will. They're both very comfortable in displacing themselves from the core and playing out of two-point stances. And they provide nice targets down the field for Joe. They do a nice job with the vertical passing game and the play-action passing game, getting chunks of yardage going to those guys, particularly Peter.
Is it similar to what New England likes to do with their two tight ends?
I would really compare it very favorably to what they do with Aaron Hernandez and Gronk.
We talk about Joe Flacco being the center of the offense, not far from center is Ray Rice. Do things still pretty much revolve around him, both in terms of running and utilizing him in the passing game?
No question. He's multidimensional. You know, he is their leading rusher, and not by a little, but by a lot. The run game goes through him. Their run personality is his personality. He's a combative guy. He's a one-cut runner. He does a nice job of getting downhill and getting downhill fast. And, of course, his inclusion in the passing game, I think, is critical. He's always been a security blanket for Joe, a nice outlet, if you will, during times of pressure or just simply trying to stay on schedule, utilizing the check down as a weapon. He's got great hands, He's very tough to get on the ground after the catch. We're going to have our hands full trying to minimize what he's capable of doing. I just saw Lawrence not too long ago. It's going to be a big week for the guys like Lawrence Timmons to try to neutralize what a guy like Ray Rice is capable of doing.
People who have never stood next to him or interviewed him or talked to him would be surprised at how small Ray Rice is. Does that actually serve as a benefit to kind of hide behind those mammoth offensive linemen that make the quick cut and go?
No question. When you start talking about the likes of Ja Reed, who's 6'7", or Michael Orr, who's 6'6", or, you know, Brian McKinney, who's, I don't know, 6'9", okay? He's a tough guy to find, but I always like to characterize Ray and others like him as short as opposed to small. He's a compact man. He's a big man. He's a thick man. He's a powerful guy. He just doesn't happen to be very tall.
Well, now that it's going to be difficult to sleep all week long after hearing about Baltimore Ravens, get ready for the pivotal game of the season up until this point.